Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just going to back up just a little bit. We're studying about the works of the Holy Spirit. The works of the Holy Spirit. And understand this. Usually you say the word works and people get a little bit of their dander up. They get a little bit crazy. But if you're saved in here today, you ought to be working for Him. Amen. If you're saved in here today, you ought to think about where you can put your hand to the plow. Now, your hand on the plow does not get you to heaven. That's a different subject. Getting saved is not the same thing as doing works, and doing works is not the same thing as getting saved. You get folks that say, well, you're saved, you don't have to do anything the rest of your life. That's the truth. You do not have to get to heaven, but you're going to wish you did when you get there. So understand this. Are we a works church? Yes. Are we a salvation church? Yes. But to get to heaven, you get saved. Once you get saved, you get working. That's the bottom line. Amen? Amen. That was a half-hearted amen. It must be early. Time change Sunday, brother. Don't expect them to be too awake. Now, if you look at this at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, we start to learn about the works of the Spirit. And if you look at chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth. The Spirit searcheth all things. How many things does the Spirit search? All things. Now we went into this a little bit of review here. And we're going to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 here in 1 minute. But the Spirit searcheth all things. If you're saved in here today, inside of you rests that Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is searching. The Holy Spirit is searching all things. The Holy Spirit is searching all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, I'm not a deeper lifer, but I've got to be honest with you. We as Christians need to scratch more than the surface of our Christianity. There's got to be a time when we want to get a little bit deeper in what God has for us. Not deeper in where you get this ecumenical, emerging church kind of craziness. But you know what's funny? We as Baptists get so scared of what the charismatic crowd does. We get so scared about praising the Lord. We get so scared about doing things, being led by the Spirit. Let me explain something to you. I'm going to hold on to this service for a very long time. I don't know about you, but 3 weeks ago when the Holy Spirit came down here and moved in a very, very special way, I'm not letting that go. And I think you ought to hold on to it too. A day when man was moved. And man was moved. The Holy Spirit was moving in such a special way that you couldn't get yourself to stay in your pew. You had to come. And it didn't matter when it was, it has had to be done. That is the Holy Spirit working. Is there anything wrong with that? Why are we so afraid of that? It's no surprise to me that we're exploring the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit came down and did something miraculous. Is that a surprise to any of you? Certainly wasn't a surprise to me. But I held on to that because I want to see it happen more than just once. I want to see it happen more than just once. I don't think we should get crazy in here. Don't misread me. I don't think we should get to the point where all of a sudden we're up waving hands and we're getting slain in the Spirit. And I've told you that story before 100 times. Well, I'll never forget that day. That was the craziest thing I've ever been to in my life. I used to listen to rock and roll music like crazy when I was a kid. And this girl at church knew that something wrong with me. And that was the truth. There was something wrong, but there was more wrong with her. I'll tell you that right now. And she took me to this crazy burn your music session. I don't have anything wrong with that, but I get there and gets to the middle of the service and this guy's preaching. They're playing music backwards and everything else, trying to get you all excited about what's going on. The next thing you know, he'd get into the invitation part, I guess. And the person next to me is going, and I looked over at him, what's the matter with you? And I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I knew nothing at this time. It just scared me to death. And then I look over, and she's doing it too. And I look down the aisle, and everybody's doing it down this way. And I look over the back, everybody's doing it back this way. I look in the front, everybody's doing it. Guess who was the only guy not doing it? I'm standing there. This guy points at this section and says something to him, and next thing you know, they're down. He points to the middle section. Next thing you know, they're down. I wish I could get my kids to do that. He points to this section that I was in. Next thing you know, everybody's down. And they point. Guess who's standing? I didn't know what to do. Everybody else did. Everybody else was slain in the spirit. The only one who wasn't slain in the spirit was me. And I wasn't going down. I just crazy. I don't know what you're doing. I'm afraid. Hey, listen, I think you ought to be afraid. That's not the power of God in there. So he starts to talking to me. Well, who else is he going to talk to? Everybody else is dead. He points at me and starts saying something, and I got to step over 6-8 people to get to the aisle, and I start to walk out. He's talking directly to me. Hey, where are you going? I said, I don't know, but I can't stay here. I walked outside, went in the car, and stayed. They thought I was the devil. That's not the Holy Spirit I'm talking about, okay? That's unholy there. I don't know what that was, but if you've been to one of those services, my heart was telling me, and I know I was a saved young man, but I didn't know anything about the Lord, but I knew that wasn't right. And they tell me later, well, you got to work yourself up to that. If you got to work yourself up to the Spirit moving you, then you got the wrong spirit. I'm sorry. I don't have to work myself up to anything. But anyways, here it is. So I want the Holy Spirit to work. And the Holy Spirit's work, according to Scripture, because that's where we always got to go back to, is searching. Searching the deep things of God. And there's no reason to fear searching the deep things of God. I introduced a few of those things to you last week, but I'll get into those in a minute. But let's move on a little bit further. He searches the deep things of God. Now I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 1, I want to read to you just a little bit. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. I worry about that. I worry about preachers that get in the pulpit and don't teach their people. I want you to preach them, and I think we ought to preach, but I'm glad all these years that I've been here that Pastor Skyver has taught us in the preaching. He has shown us what what we need to know about the Bible, from the Bible, not his own thoughts, but from the Bible, what the Bible says. And I'm glad of that because I want to have a firm foundation to stand on. I don't want to walk into this church. I go to an independent fundamental Baptist church because I do. Yeah, but I want to know why. And I think you ought to know why. Why do we stand for the book? I think we ought to know that. Why do we stand for the King James Bible? Why is it important that it's inspired? I think we need to know that. Because I'm going to tell you, when the time comes for us to be able to stand for what we're doing, boy, we better be able to know what we're talking about. Amen? For ye are yet carnal. I worry about that in our churches. Ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, how do we get closer to the Lord? How do we get closer to the Spirit? The Spirit searching these things out. Listen now. Ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, there is among you and strife, there is among you and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? I worry about that in our churches. I worry about that as one man looks on another and wishes that he were him. I worry about that. Listen to me. We don't need another Dave Ballard in here. We don't, thank God, yeah, amen. We don't need another one of them. We don't need another Mike Sells. We don't need another Bill Turner. We got all the ones we got. That's all we need. So don't look on somebody else and wish you were them. That's not what you want to be. And yes, you should aspire to some of the qualities. I want to aspire to the quality of Brother Carl McDaniel, of his servitude over all these years. I want to be found faithful. But I don't want to be Brother Carl. I want to be faithful like Brother Carl. I want to stay in church. Listen, I've stayed in church for a lot of years now, but that's not the end. I don't want to be one of those guys that stays in church for 20 years and then stops. That's something I want to aspire to. There's qualities that you can look at in men and say, I want to be like that, but you don't want to be them. That envying, that thought process, and what happens with envy, you take envy, Brother Mike, to the next level. We all do. You take envy to the next level, and you'll take envy and turn it into, I don't like that person. You'll take envy and start to try to tear that person down so they come down to your level. Because I've never heard one person gossip about another person wasn't trying to make themselves look better to the person that they were gossiping to. That's free, by the way. I won't charge you a dime for that one. You must understand something. We live in a day and age where we need every soldier to do what they can do, what God has told them to do. And to do that, you're going to have to get you out of the way. Throw you off to the side, get you in. If you're in the flesh right now, the works of the Spirit is to search out where you are. And you know where you are, by the way. Every person, if they be honest with themselves, know where they are. And if you'll turn out of that old flesh and let that Spirit lead you, let it lead you. Don't make the rope tight. Let it lead you. Let it lead you. Get you some slack in the line. Let that Spirit lead you. Walk behind. Let Him lead you in a way. And if you let that Spirit lead you, you'll become who God wants you to become. See, you must understand something. Ye are yet carnal is what He's saying here. Ye are yet carnal. I would like not to be carnal. Amen? I would like not to be carnal. Look at this now. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? You look at this and we laugh. And I've done this before. I've looked at this and laughed. Do you know that that is rampant today? That is absolutely so huge today. Baptist churches, what man do you fall behind? What man are you falling behind in leadership? There's only one that we should. That's the man, Jesus Christ. But how many, listen, and you know this is true. If you've been to any of these conferences, you know this is true. I am of Dr. Hiles. I am of Dr. Dre. I am of this man. I am of this man. You see it in the Bible. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. Believing that you are something more special because you fall in line. What camp do you reside in? I've been asked that question. What camp are you? Are you in the Dr. Hiles camp? I love Dr. Hiles. I do. He's a man, though. Just letting everybody know. Just letting everybody be aware that that was a man. I don't believe he died for anybody's sins. Oh, and this may not be popular, but understand this. I don't fall in line behind any man. Listen, I love my preacher. I've said this 8 million times. I'll say it again. Brother Myers, I love my pastor, one of the greatest men in the whole wide world, loves his people better than anybody else I know. That's the truth. That's the truth. But I don't follow him. If he gets away from that book, I'm getting away from him. You may not believe that, but that's the truth, and I hope and pray, and I don't believe I'll ever have to prove that to you, but if it's not in the Bible, I'm not behind it. I don't want to follow any man. I don't want to get you to follow any man. I don't want you to come, well, we follow right behind Dr. Skyver. I love my dad, but I want you to follow the Bible. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I get tired of people reporting how many souls they've led to Christ. Well, I led 7. I led 8. You didn't lead nothing. We all had a part in it. We all had our hand in it. And if I lead somebody to Christ, 5 people accepted Christ as Savior. Was that my fault? Come on, now you need to hear this. It's not my fault, it's our fault. All of us had part in those 5 getting saved. Every last one of us. I represent Jesus Christ for Bethel Baptist Church. That's you. I get out there and 5 people get saved at a preaching service. It's because of you. We all had our part in it. And if I could sit there and tell you, well, bless God, it's because of my preaching. And I don't blame you because my preaching is absolutely fantastic. I just want you to know that. That's the most pompous attitude. A sinner can't save a soul. But Jesus Christ sure can, and so I'll put all my stock behind Him. We've all had part in it. We've all had our hands in it. When we go out soul winning, I expect you to be praying. Because we can't go out alone. We've got to take the Holy Spirit with us. We've got to take your prayers with us. We've got to have a team effort at this church to where everybody is part. Look at this now. So then, verse 7, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers, what? What? We're talking about the works of the Holy Spirit. And do you know how well this fits? We are laborers together. So if you tear up another Christian, what are you doing? Come on now. Oh boy, here we are. Lead balloon just flew. If you tear up another Christian, what are you doing? Come on now. You're tearing up your own self. You're tearing up your own team. Well, that guy's a dirty dog and I don't like him. Well, he probably don't like you either. If you want to get a church in a knot quicker than life, go ahead and start tearing each other up. Go ahead and start tearing each other up, because I'm going to tell you right now, one of the worst things you can do is take the legs out of a teammate. Man, if you was playing football and you was a running back, you certainly wouldn't want to mess with your guard and tackle. Oh, the guard and tackle may not score your touchdowns. They may not be the one in the paper. But if you take the legs out from under them, I got news for you. You aren't scoring one either. You better be careful to tear up your prayer warriors. Well, I don't see them showing up on Saturday for soul winning, Brother Dave. And I think, boy, I tell you right now, they'd be cast off into eternal damnation if they were down. That's the way I feel. I'll tell you right, that's the way I feel. Let me tell you something. You better be careful of what you're doing to your linemen. You better be careful what you're doing to other people. God forbid you have a bad day. God forbid you got something. And I understand some people get into sin. I get that. But I'm telling you, I would rather have a person in the Holy Spirit act than a person in their carnality act. You better listen to what I'm saying to you, Bethel. If revival is here, and I believe that it is, we've got to be very careful not to quench the Holy Spirit, not to resist the Holy Spirit, not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We better be careful. I don't see it going on at Bethel, but I'm going to tell you, I'd be very worried when things are going well that is the next thing that seems to come. If you look, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I love this. And I used to fall in this. I'm gonna expose myself a little bit. Again, I do this often because I'm so pathetic. But a lot of my work that I did, I believe with all my heart, especially the first few years of ministry. I've told you this before. I've opened this to you before. First 3 years of my ministry, at least, all I did was serve to please a man. I did. I wanted to impress my father-in-law. That's all I wanted to do. I was married to his daughter. I wanted to impress him. And you might say, well, what's wrong with that? There's a lot wrong with that. Because I'm not here to please him. Now, I came to grips with something very early. And by the way, I didn't become right just because I came to this understanding. I came to the understanding that I wasn't here to please him. I was here to please him. And if I please him, he'll be pleased. If he's right with God, which he is, praise the Lord. But I try to please him. Now understand this. Along the way, as a baby Christian, still a baby, but along the way as a baby Christian, the Lord had to work a lot of knots out of my life. I'm not standing up here in front of you today saying, I got so right. I was just so right. because you know I wasn't. You know there was things. And I believe when I get to that point where you've got wood, hay, and stubble, and you've got all the rest of your works there in that pile, I believe a lot of my works are going to burn up. I believe that. Because I didn't do them for the right reason. I don't know what those works are going to be. I can't tell you what those works are going to be. But I do know this. It's not my job to worry about which one of Bill Turner III's works are going to burn up. No, hang with me here a minute. Because I think this is something that we worry about a lot. It's not my job to figure out why he wants to go soul winning. It's not my job to determine people's motives. I struggle with this. It's not my job to figure out why Brother Myers does the things that he does. If he's doing them and the Lord's getting glorified, praise the Lord. It's not my job to figure out if Brother Myers is doing that to impress you or to impress the Lord. That's not my job. My job is to worry about why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. Stay with me now. See, you're on a team. The team seems to only be as good as its worst player. I don't know why that is. It always seems to be that way. And my worry to me, and we pray for this a lot on Tuesdays and Fridays, and I wish you could come to the men's prayer. I wish you would. I'm going to tell you, I love it. I wish you could come. But our prayer is very often, Lord, let us not be what's holding back revival. Not collectively, individually. I've been praying to the Lord a lot, Lord, let it not be me that's holding back revival. Let it not be my actions that are holding back revival. Let it not be my reactions that are holding back revival. Let it not be my thoughts that are holding back revival. Let it not be my actions that are holding back revival. Oh God, I want the Spirit to move in a special way. And you saw that 3 weeks ago where man moved. Man got out of the way. We held ourselves off to the side. We forgot about us and thought about him. And because we forgot about us and thought about him, he came down and moved. Seems very easy, but it's amazing how many times I've uttered the words under my breath. And I know, listen, I know people, they talk about their success in soul winning and they talk about things like this, and I understand that they lie. They lie about their soul winning numbers? I don't know, Brother Bill, do they lie? Huh? In college when you were there, did they lie about their service for the Lord Jesus Christ? Come on now. Preachers, I'm going to require a paper. Then you're going to get a bunch of lies. Really? I know you're shocked. Okay? Then I got to the thought though, Brother Jordan. But what does my paper say? What does my paper say? How's the Holy Spirit going to work if we never rely on him for us? Personally, the Holy Spirit searcheth. When he searches, Miss Phyllis, what does he find? Huh? Don't worry about what he finds for you. I'm not worried about what he finds for you. What does he find for me? What does he find here for me? What does my paper say? You look at those kids that are out there, Brother Bill, and I guarantee you, when you was in college, I guarantee you that it made you aggravated that a kid would write down, I led 7 to Christ, and you knew that on that day, he was in bed till 2. Do college kids in Christian colleges lie? Oh, my soul. Kids lie no matter where they are. That's what they do. And it's no surprise, because if you turn in a bad paper, you get a bad grade. So they lie. And then the preachers in their insanity take those numbers and cast them before God. We led 25,000 people to Christ this week. And our church went up in attendance 7. It's like preachers, like one preacher talking to another preacher about how many people they run. Baptist preachers never say the right number. Oh, you're shocked, right? How many people you run? 700. We go a little bit lower on Sunday nights. I mean, you know, 500. You haven't had 500 people for the whole month. And I say these things, who are we trying to impress? Listen, when you turn in your little slip of paper, I'd like to open up the Institute again. I really would. I'd like to open up Bethel Baptist Institute again, start teaching again once a week, teaching about the Bible. We've got a whole crop of new people here. I'd like to teach that class again. I'd like to have Romans taught again. I really would. And I'm going to tell you right now, when we asked for slips of paper from people, it worried me what they said. Do you know why I worried? Because my paper wasn't right. Can I say that in church? That I even embellished my numbers? I'm not sure we want you as associate pastor anymore. Too bad. Who are we trying to impress? I want you to think now. How long does it make you feel better? I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about me. Brother Dave, this is the only guy I can talk to is me. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. He's searching you. He's searching you. He's searching you. Inside where you can't see, you know it's there. I'm not talking to touchy-feely. You know what I'm talking about. That point in your life where you realize that part of your life, if just a small part, is a sham. Boy, it's quiet. I'm still talking to me. Hello? Where the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, if there's one thing the Holy Spirit is good at, it's house cleaning. And I worry about sometimes my life because my life gets busy. It gets busy. I'm glad. I want to be busy. But sometimes I worry that what I do, I don't want to get it in front of people like I am something. Because then why am I doing it? If I went to that sports banquet to show off, to act like I've got something special in and of myself, then the moment would have been defeated. If man would have stepped in the way 3 weeks ago during that service that we had here, what would have happened, Brother Bill? I'm just asking you a question. What would have happened? Let me put it on you for a minute. What if somebody would have stood up and tried to give a testimony in the midst of the Holy Spirit moving? It would have killed it. Why? Because then we would have had the preeminence. I believe if you folks could have crawled to the altar, you would have. I'm going to tell you right now, I was so excited about it. I'm standing right here and people start to get up and move. And I had to get up here so fast because the people were moving in such a way that I would have got trampled like a European soccer tournament. And I stood up here at the pulpit, gripping the pulpit, and said to myself, Lord, what do I do? And I'm telling you, almost in a voice that I could hear, he said, pray, idiot. I was the only one that wasn't. You must understand something. We better let that Spirit search our hearts. And if He searches our hearts, don't quench Him after He tells you what the results are. You say, well, He brought back a result that I'm awfully fleshly. That's okay. Take the results and do something with them. Take the results and do something with them. Learn that you are truly a sinner. Learn that it's bad. But you know what? If you come to grips with the fact that you're a sinner, you'll come to grips with the fact of how much He forgave and continues to forgive until this day. and you can take what he's given you and decide, I'm going to do something for God. Then you come out from being a babe in Christ to being a worker for Christ. Because I'm going to tell you, if we want to let the Holy Spirit have rule and reign here at Bethel Baptist Church, it cannot be in just one person. It cannot be in five people. Everybody has got to let this Holy Spirit do its work. Allow it to. Do you know what's crazy? We can stop it. We can stop the Holy Spirit. We can stop the Holy Spirit with envy. We can stop the Holy Spirit with the things that he's talked about, letting man get in the way. We can stop the Holy Spirit. I wish we wouldn't. Because he's in the midst of his work, searching out. I don't have the time to go there now, but one of my favorite verses. He uttereth prayers and intercessions for us, which we can never understand. The thoughts of the Lord to us are precious, so precious. There's so many of them. They are as the sands of the sea. It's so wonderful to know that if our heart, you say, well, Brother Dave, I let the Holy Spirit convict me, and I let the Holy Spirit have its work, and I let the Holy Spirit come and review me, and when he came back with the results, I am really not a very good Christian. And your heart condemns you. You ever had that before where your heart says, you're just a dirty, rotten sinner? Then the Bible says it was a wonderful answer, but he is greater than our heart. And you take what he's given you. Do you know that that is the moment in time when he can use you? That's the moment in time when the Holy Spirit brings a broken and contrite spirit up to the altar, puts it here. Lord, all I have to offer you is a broken vessel. And the Lord says, you're the kind I like to get. And a marred vessel in the potter's hands, he can make something whole again. Make something beautiful again. You see, I remember the day, boy, I remember the day when the Spirit, boy, convicted me and I came forward. Can I ask you a question? Why does it only have to be once? You know, you mature Christians, you ones that have been around the block, you know the vernacular. You're good at it. You know what to say and what to do. You know scripture references. I know more addresses in the scripture than Brother Dave does, for goodness sake. You're highly intelligent, but you're also dead as a doornail. Why? Because you don't let the Spirit search you anymore. There's nothing in here for the Spirit to find. Let me give you one more thing. I heard the bell. I like this analogy. A house that's never lived in can stay clean. Oh, help me. You get a house that's lived in, a house that work is done in, a house that is used. There's going to be some things you have to clean up from time to time. I don't care how old you get in the scriptures. I don't care how old you get in this old rugged body of yours. I don't care how far along you get in your ministry, how pious you become, how pretentious you become. I don't care how intelligent you become. I don't care how spiritually right you become. Understand this, at the end of the day, you are still going to have to find your way up to this altar and have the Lord clean you out from time to time. Because unless you're not doing any work in your house. But ladies, can I ask you a question? Even if you did no work in the house, it still gets dusty, doesn't it? You old dusty folks, Don't get a feather duster. They tell me that that just doesn't clean up. Get you the new Swiffer. I don't care what it takes in your life. Let the Holy Spirit have its work. Let the Holy Spirit have its searching. Let the Holy Spirit have its way. Let the Holy Spirit have its will. Let the Holy Spirit do its work. And let the Holy Spirit get you to come forward to this altar and clean us up. Let the Holy Spirit have its work. Now, next week we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit teaching. Now understand this, I was supposed to get through all of this. But let's let the Holy Spirit, let's let the Holy Spirit search us this week. Let's let the Holy Spirit search us this morning. Let's let the Holy Spirit, and one more thing, golly. Let's take what the Holy Spirit tells us and believe it. It's tough as a Christian to hear the truth. You mean to tell me that what you wrote on that paper is not true? You knew it when you wrote it. You knew it when you wrote it. I knew it when I wrote it. I knew it when I slipped it into the box that we passed around on the night that we did. I knew that what I wrote was not right. I knew it. I'm glad I was the only one that did not tell the truth on that paper. We won't go into the papers and review them. I knew it wasn't right, but I slid it anyways. And after a couple days, I forgot. I forgot. You know, I wasn't forgetting. I was resisting the Holy Spirit so much that I wasn't even allowing the Holy Spirit to convict me over my wrongdoing. If we want revival to continue, let the Holy Spirit have its work. And when it comes back with the results, believe the results. And realize that what He's telling you is true. Give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't give it to me. Don't give it to Brother Mike. Confessing your faults before men, who cares about that? Confess them to Jesus Christ. Let the Lord have them. And let the Lord and the Holy Spirit make it right, because they can. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I thank you for giving us that wonderful comforter. Lord, I've portrayed the comforter as one that points out faults and one, oh, my Lord. But you know what, Lord? Being a comforter is not there to make us comfortable. It's there to get comfortable in being right. And that rightness is only going to come from the Holy Spirit. In and of ourselves, we have no good thing. The Bible tells us that. So, Lord, we're going to have to give our lives and our wills over to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit work through us, search us, cleanse us. And, Lord, if we can be a cleansed vessel, you can use us in a miraculous way. Lord God, let us do that. Lord, I pray for my pastor. Lord, this is another week without our shepherd. And, Lord, we're struggling. We just are. Lord, we miss him. Lord, we need him. I'm thankful, Lord, that you've come down in special ways while he's been gone. I'm thankful, Lord, that you're still the king. And it's not a man, but Lord, you've given us our shepherd. Lord, please let him come back 100%, that he never has to be out of his pulpit again. Oh God, please anoint the services this morning. I'm going to need you. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. I've got nothing in and of myself. And Lord, maybe I've revealed too much of myself. Lord, I don't know. But I know this, I'm nothing without you. And I need you this morning. So Lord, please come down in a special way. Help us. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll break for about